Sometimes it's hard because we believe some things that the world just doesn't believe, can't buy into. Don't sound palatable, don't sound reasonable. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't it be easier if we just gave up the belief that Jesus is the only way? Wouldn't we offend fewer people? Wouldn't fewer people call us intolerant, bigots? Wouldn't fewer people put us on, you know, hatred, same level as the Nazis? If we just didn't believe that Jesus is the only way. Wouldn't we get less grief if we just believed that all roads lead to the same place? Would certainly offend fewer people, right? I mean, think about all the different religions, the billions of people who have practiced those religions. Speaking of which, doesn't that in itself prove that there's more than one way to heaven? How can billions of people be wrong? How could the majority of people be wrong? I mean, that offends us as Americans, right? We're Americans and the majority decides everything. Whether it's who's going to be the next president, who's going to be the next American Idol. I mean, the majority rules, right? If most people believe it, it's got to be true. If most people believe something's right, that makes it right, right? I mean, not that the other people are wrong. We can't say the other people are wrong. That would be intolerant. But the majority rules. If only we believed that all roads lead to the same place. You know, if only we didn't talk about sin so much. I mean, that's pretty offensive. It's pretty offensive to imply that people one day are going to stand before God and give an account for how they lived their lives. It's offensive to imply that we all are going to stand before God and possibly face condemnation. People don't want to hear that. Am I right? Am I running in different circles from you? So why do we keep talking about it? I mean, we know there's such a thing as right and wrong, but I mean, could we at least like buy into an easier idea, a more maybe politically correct idea? Maybe we could just buy into the idea of karma, right? Because that's pretty acceptable. You know, if you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you back. If you're good to people, people will be good to you back. If you're bad to people, you know, people will be bad to you back. But, you know, that's not near as, you know, God's going to get you kind of thing. I mean, that would be easier, right? Not nearly so offensive. So no more talk about judgment of God. No more talk about eternal damnation. Certainly no more talk about hell. And speaking of hell, I mean, how nasty of a topic is that? Who wants to hear about that? Surely we can leave that far behind in the rearview mirror. Keep heaven, but lose hell. People like to hear about heaven. Nobody wants to even think about hell. Wouldn't life be smoother if we just quit talking about it? And do we really have to be serious about what Jesus teaches? I mean, obviously, in the Sermon on the Mount, we've been going through, we got, you know, this Sunday, we got next Sunday, and that's it. So we've been through almost the whole thing. And, you know, who can doubt that there's a lot of good stuff in the Sermon on the Mount, a lot that we can admire, a lot that just sounds good. You know, all of that love your enemies, give to the poor, treat others how you want to be treated. I mean, that stuff sounds golden. The problem is, it's not practical. Because if you live like that, you're going to offend people. I mean, if you're the person who is being loved, or you're the person who is being treated well, or you're the person who, you know, get something good given to them, obviously you're going to like it. But I'm talking about if you really want to, you know, get radical and really do what Jesus says, you're going to make everybody around you uncomfortable. Am I right? And you don't even have to say anything, but people feel like you're judging them just because you're trying to live what Jesus teaches. And, you know, they'll call you names like goody-goody and, you know, holy roller, holier than thou. And you don't even have to say anything. You're just trying to do what Jesus says. It's just not practical. Wouldn't it be better just to dial it down a notch? I mean, still be a good person, Be a good citizen. Be a good neighbor. You know, live respectably, but not radically. I mean, not really doing what Jesus is teaching us to do. I mean, after all, let's be honest, how many of us in here know somebody who claims to be a Christian and they don't get radical about what Jesus teaches? So it's possible, right? I mean, do we really have to get serious about this stuff? You'll make the people around you feel a whole lot more comfortable. You'll be a whole lot more comfortable. Fact of the matter is, life would be a lot easier if we Christians just weren't so narrow-minded. The problem is that even though the world might applaud, Jesus would not. Listen to what he says in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 20. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus is talking to us this morning about the truth, about the road. And I want to call a timeout because we got to make a decision. It's Christmas time. We like to celebrate Christmas. I don't know about you. I like the decorations. I like the lights around the city. I mean, I like a lot of things about Christmas. But we got to decide if we really believe what this Christmas thing is all about. Because Christmas isn't just celebrating Jesus' birthday. Christmas is celebrating that God became flesh. And the question is, do you really believe that? Because if you believe that, that's who's talking to you in Matthew 7. And I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, if this is who's talking to me, you know, I don't care what I see on TV. I don't care what movie I watch. I don't care what internet chat room I go to. I don't care. Nobody is going to trump the spirituality of Jesus. Nobody's teachings are going to bring us closer to God than these. So the question is, I mean, are we going to take these serious? Because one thing that Jesus says is, the road to life is not easy. He says, small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life. The word narrow there is the Greek word phlebo. It means squeezed. It's used in Scripture, referring to persecution. 1 Timothy, letters to the Thessalonians. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you're going to get flack. If you walk this way that I have given to you, people are not going to like it, and they're going to give you trouble for it. I know this is wonderful news on a Sunday morning, but, you know, I'm just reporting. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus says the road to heaven is not easy. And notice it's a road. He says, narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way. How many of you know that walking with Jesus is a gate and a way? Underline that. It doesn't matter so much the decision that you made about Jesus umpteen years ago as much as are you walking with him today? The life is a way as well as a gate. You get in by grace, Sermon on the Mount at the beginning, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed who mourn, they will be comforted. We find forgiveness in Jesus. Grace gets us on the road, but grace also keeps us on the road. If your conception of grace is only about forgiveness, you need to broaden it a little bit. Grace is not just about forgiveness. Grace is also about the power to follow Jesus. That God walks with us, that God empowers us to become the people that God wants us to be. Jesus also says the road to life is not popular. He says there is a road where lots of people go on, broad, wide, it leads to destruction. But the road to life is cramped. Many find the other road. Few are the ones who find this road. Jesus says the road that leads to destruction is roomy, full of travelers. The road that leads to life, on the other hand, is confined, sometimes lonely. The road to heaven is a one-lane country road. The road to destruction is a 12-lane buzzing freeway. And listen to what Jesus says here. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus says the majority of people are headed in the wrong direction. Most people are living the wrong kind of life. How's that grab you? I mean, it offends our ears because we're told over and over the majority is right. Except one person in your life. One person in your life told you the exact opposite. One person in your life, you went up to them, if your mama was like mine, you went up to your mama and you said, I want to go and do thus and such because everybody's doing it. And you remember what your mama said to you? Did anybody ever go and say you wanted to do that? You ever look at it? When I went and said to my mom, I want to do this and everybody's doing it. Come on, mom, let me do it. My mom said to me, if everybody jumped off a bridge, come on, you can do it. Would you do it too? Jesus is here saying the majority of people are jumping off a bridge. The majority of the people are headed in the wrong way. Then why on earth are we so impressed with the arguments that say everybody knows that there's more than one way to heaven? Why are we impressed with arguments that say, think about how many people aren't Christians, and you're saying that they're wrong? I'm not saying anybody's wrong. What I'm saying is Jesus says the majority of people get it wrong. Is it possible that Jesus and Mama are both right? I think so. And by the way, every person who's ever followed God has at one point in their life felt alone and lonely. More great news on a Sunday morning. But it's true. Moses came to God and said, everybody's against me. Elijah goes out in the desert, prays to die, and says, there's nobody left but me. David, you ever read the Psalms? I'm surrounded. My friend has become my enemy. Oh God, would you rescue me? I'm surrounded on every side. Jesus, the most important moment of his life, the most important moment of his ministry. And he goes up to his closest followers and he says, couldn't you pray with me just for an hour? Sometimes the way is lonely. Sounds like a country and western song, doesn't it? But anyway. Thirdly, Jesus says, there are only two roads with two very different destinations. Contrary to what people say, there aren't many roads. There are only two. And they don't lead to the same place. They lead in opposite directions. One leads to life, Jesus says, the other to destruction. Heaven is real. So is hell. Heaven is a place of reward for people who choose God's plan for their lives over their own, who prefer what God wants ahead of what they want, who take the road less traveled by, even though it's more difficult, because they want to please God more than they want anything else in the world. Hell, on the other hand, a place of punishment for people who choose their own way and disregard God's, who prefer what they want to what God wants and who take the easy way, the popular way, because they want everything in the world but God. Like I said earlier, it's not popular to talk about hell. And to be frank with you, I don't like talking about it. I don't like thinking about it. I can't stand it when people make jokes about hell. It's not funny to me. But when it's in the text, I talk about it. I hear people say, I don't believe in a God who sends people to hell. I can sympathize with that. But I also don't believe in a God who lets anybody get away with whatever they want to do. Do you? Just go do whatever and he'll be all right in the end. Go wreck as many people's lives as you want to. Have at it. You know, I don't think anybody does. I think we all have a list who we think is, you know, is on it, on their way. Maybe it's just not calibrated enough. I mean, you know, Hitler, definitely. Saddam Hussein, you know, he's gone. Osama bin Laden. The guy down the street who yells at kids and lets his dog go on other people's lawn, doesn't clean up. The guy I didn't vote for president. The people who voted for the guy I didn't vote for president. Pastors who talk about politics too much in their sermons. And we have a list. The reality is, actually, and Jesus talks about this here, from one perspective, God doesn't send anybody anywhere. God doesn't send people to hell. From one perspective, what Jesus says is people choose it. And I know what you're thinking, some of you, at least one person in the room, give me a break, nobody chooses hell. Well, no, not if, you know, you think of it like, you know, the Department of Heavenly Housing comes and knocks on your door. Excuse me, where would you like to spend your eternity? Not in that sense. Nobody chooses that way, but people choose it in the same way that people choose to have unhealthy bodies, unhealthy relationships, destructive lives, by choosing what's easier, what suits me, especially in the moment. Why on earth do I choose chocolate instead of broccoli? I do. It's just... A person doesn't go to hell, by the way, also for failing to hear about Jesus. A person goes to hell for shaking their puny fist in the face of their Creator and demanding their own way. C.S. Lewis put it this way. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." Our default is to say, "My will be done." C.S. Lewis said, "Hell is God finally saying, 'Thy will be done.'" Giving us our way. We demand it, we demand it, we demand it. And finally God says... You know who spoke the most about hell in the New Testament? Want to guess? Of all the people we know in the New Testament. Some people say Paul. Jesus. Jesus mentions it more than any other person. And the interesting thing to me is the one who talks about it the most is the one who also did the most to keep us out. Right? And he continues to do the most. I study at a school north of Chicago, at TEDS, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And one of the good things about being there was just being able to interact with people, literally, in ministries around the world. And I always look forward to lunches. We'd go and we'd talk about, you know, what's going on in their ministry, their lives, and those kinds of things. And one time I had the opportunity to talk to a guy who was working in the Muslim world. And I don't know how familiar you are with what God is doing in the Muslim world, but God is doing some amazing things and drawing people to himself. And one way that God is doing this, we hear this over and over from missionaries, is that God is sending people dreams. Just an amazing thing. And so I'm talking with this guy, and I said, you know, hey, do you have any experience with that? Or any of the people you're working with, you know, have they had any dreams? He's just a matter-of-factly, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like known that God is working this way. And he said, in fact, all 17 people that I work with have had some dreams that have brought them to Christ. He talked about a woman who had a dream that a man came up to her, looks at her and says, "You have sin." She wakes up later on. She goes to the Jesus film that this guy and his people are presenting. She sees the story of Jesus and she goes, "That's him. That's the guy who came up to me in my dream." She walked away from there and she didn't make a decision, but she did have another dream. And in her second dream, she dreamt she was standing in line to get into heaven. And one by one, Jesus was letting the people into heaven. And when it came her time, he didn't even look at her. He just turned around, shut the gate. You know, how rude, right? But she came to Jesus because God is actively seeking people. God is actively seeking to save. Lastly, when it comes to the road, Jesus says, not just anybody is a reliable guide. Not just anybody is a reliable guide. Again, the road to heaven is a journey. It's a process to get you ready. You need guides. You need help along the way. Be careful who you let do that. I mean, it's life or death here. And Jesus says there are going to be people who are going to try to lead you. You've got to be on your guard. He calls them false prophets. So how do you know who these people are? Who do you know who the false prophets are? Well, number one, not by appearance. He says they come in sheep's clothing. These people are smooth talking. They're charming. I heard there was a study done on serial killers one time. They were trying to see what's common among serial killers. If there's a common denominator, maybe they could identify. You know, the only thing they found in common with serial killers? They're all charming people. How else do you think they get you in their basement? I mean, it just amazes me that we're taken in by charm so often. And Jesus says, be on your guard because these people look good on the outside, but inwardly they're not. They're not people after your money. He says, inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. They're hungry. They're out to get from you what they can get from you. I just want to say, I'm grateful for the church. I'm grateful for people who give to the offering. I'm grateful for the financial support that my family and I have because I'm the pastor here. But I also want to say to you and hear me, I am not after your money. And it just kills me because, never mind. I'll talk about it in a minute. How do you identify these people? Jesus says, look at their fruit. What is the fruit? Character, conduct. How do they live their lives? You can fake the talk. You can be charming for only so long, but you hang out with somebody long enough, you will see what they are really like. Again, not perfect. If you expect perfection out of me, you're not going to get it. But hopefully you see in me somebody who's on the way. That's what Jesus is asking all. None of us is perfect, but are you on the way? And what Jesus says is the false prophets, the bad guides, the bad leaders, it's just going to be a matter of time. Just hang out with them, and they will reveal themselves. This is why it's so dangerous. TV preachers just drive me nuts. Not just because it's hard to listen to a lot of their sermons, but because you can't see the life of the person you're listening to. You need to ask yourself, do I want to become like him? Do I want to become like her? Because here's the thing, you will. You will. Jesus said a disciple is not greater than the master, but when they're fully trained, they'll become like their. If someone is consistently teaching you, and you are consistently under their teaching, you will become like them in some form or fashion. And don't think that doesn't keep me up late at night. It's a scary thought, but you've got to be careful. You've got to be cautious because these people are your guides. You follow the news this week. Have you heard the story about Princess Kate? You know, she's pregnant now. She was in the hospital because she was having, I guess, some particularly bad morning sickness. And a couple of DJs from Australia called the hospital. And they pretended to be the Queen Mother and Prince Charles. Did you hear the story? And so the nurse, the reception, the person who normally answers phones wasn't there. The nurse picked up the phone, was taken in. She transferred the call. It just got ugly. The DJ started playing it, the bit over and over and over again. Humiliated the nurse. And a few days ago, the nurse, mother of two, she was so humiliated she committed suicide. Now everybody's, you know, up in arms, these DJs. How dare you? Some are defending them. Tragic. Turned out deadly because they were pretending to be somebody they weren't. You know, it shocks me sometimes how tolerant we are of who we listen to. Teach, preach. When Jesus says it's a matter of life and death, you've got to be careful who is guiding you on this road to life.